About 10 days ago, it was revealed that the internet servers in Parliament House had come under cyber attack, mostly likely from a foreign government, although we didn't know who. Today, we learnt that the servers of the Liberal Party, the Labor Party and the Nationals were also targeted. The Prime Minister says there doesn't appear to have been any interference in our political system. But with an election due in a matter of months, how alarmed should we be? Fergus Hanson is the head of the International Cyber Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute and joins us on RN Drive. Fergus, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
So the government says it has no evidence as yet of interference in our political system, but we're only a few months away from a federal election. Is this likely to be connected to the election? I mean, we're very close, and these are basically attacks on the servers of our major political parties.
Well, that's right. I think any reading of this is a pretty narrow definition of electoral interference if you're saying, well, it's just the technical aspects of the electoral system, the voter rolls or the processes, this transmission of results. I think that's a pretty narrow definition. And if we're having attacks on our political parties, then I think by almost any definition, that's at least an attempted interference in Australia's electoral system.
How good are our investigative capabilities in this space? I mean, would our authorities know if information had been taken or important systems had been compromised?
Well, they've said today that it was a very sophisticated attack, and I think that's code for the perpetrators have covered their tracks very well. So they've deleted log files to show where they've gone and what they've done. And so they're slowly going through that process of piecing that together. But the forensic part of that can take a very long time. And then you have to often overlay that with intelligence collection to see, you know, who the most likely suspect is and you end up with different levels of confidence about who actually perpetrated the attack. So I think they're probably at the very early stages here. They don't know. They've said they don't know what was taken, what was accessed. So I think it's still very much a wait and see process, but they've clearly taken a decision to make this public. And you can speculate about what the reasons for that might be.
Okay, let's speculate, actually expect your expertise rather than just entirely guesswork. I won't pretend to be an expert because I'm not. So tell me, why did the government decide to put that out there, to tell this on the public record? Because doesn't it kind of compromise their efforts to deal with it at the same time?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. So we've seen two announcements. As you said, we had the initial one a bit over a week ago, and now we've got this other one today. And in both circumstances, the government doesn't have all the answers. It's still sort of piecing the thing together, doesn't really know what's been taken. And so the rationale for doing that, I think, is could be one, that you want to try and scare the attacker out of the system, to let them know that you know, and to create a bit of pressure that they might sort of scamper away and run for the hills. And that might be a tactic to try and protect, you know, sensitive government data or the data of the different political parties. Another reason might be to sort of lay the groundwork with the public that there has been an attack by a nation state, so that if we do end up with a situation like the 2016 presidential election where huge tranches of emails are leaked, for example, from one political party or another, that the public knows that it was actually a nation state actor, and they treat it differently to what occurred in the United States, where it appeared to be coming initially from a lone Romanian hacker. WikiLeaks was involved, and it wasn't immediately clear that this was an action from the Russian state. So it could be preparing the Australian public for a much bigger leak about information that's sensitive from one political party or another.
What do you believe was the motivation for this cyber attack? What would a foreign government, a foreign actor, be looking for on the servers of our major political parties?
Well, I think there's quite a few different motivations depending on the actor involved. It could be a classic Russian operation where they breaking into a system to steal data. They don't really care which side wins or not. They just want to cause chaos, disrupt the Western alliance system and undermine the public's trust in democracy. It could be an intelligence gathering exercise to hoover up information about which MPs support different sensitive issues that are of concern to different nation states. It could be to access voter information. So political parties use the electoral roll and they annotate it. And so when they have interactions with individuals, often sort of make amendments about, you know, which way they think individual voters are going to vote, what their personal interests are. Be a lot of very interesting information there, or it could be opposition research. So sensitive information about different MPs that could be used to try to manipulate them or undermine them or run bespoke campaigns against them in individual electorates.
And there are media reports that the attack has the digital fingerprints, if you like, of China. We know many of these attacks originate from China. So if it is, what do you make of the responsibility of the government to publicly release that information? And wow, that just changes everything, doesn't it, if it does, in terms of foreign diplomacy and our relationship with China?
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting test case because we haven't had an attribution made by the Australian government towards any individual state where it solely affects Australia. So in the past, we've made a couple of attributions, but we've done it sort of on the coattails of larger states. So we've had, you know, the WannaCry attack attributed to North Korea, and we jumped on the bandwagon there with other states. We had the NotPetya case attributed to Russia, and we joined in there as well. But we haven't attributed any of these individual attacks that just affect Australia. So we've had informal leaking to the media that China was behind attacks on the Bureau of Meteorology or the Australian National University or the previous attack on the Parliament in 2011, but we've never actually come out officially and made that statement. With what the government's done here with these two statements, it's really sort of teed up an expectation, I think, among the Australian public that they're going to eventually find out who did this. So that will be a really interesting test case and the first time we've really come out and made that attribution on our own. And you'd expect cost to follow that as well. So what are we going to do as a consequence of these attacks?
Should we expect more of these cyber attacks in the lead up to the election? I mean, we've got a May election coming. Is there more that we should expect? Should we just be prepared for this now?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's I think there's a little bit of an assumption that Australia is off the radar, that we're on the periphery. You know, we're not really in Russia's crosshairs, that a little bit too far away from China. It's more interested in its immediate neighbourhood. But I think that's a misreading of what could happen here. And we've seen this attack now. We've seen the foreign influence laws passed in Australia to try and push back against some of the foreign interference that we're starting to see. And I wouldn't at all be surprised to see propaganda campaigns run through social media sites, both the ones, you know, platforms like Facebook and Twitter, but also on platforms like WeChat.
Fergus, thanks for coming on the show and giving us your analysis. It is a very complex story, and look, if they get to the bottom of who they think's behind it, it'd be very interesting to see if they publicly release the information. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Fergus Hansen is the head of the International Cyber Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. This is RN Drive.